بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، إن شاء الله today we are having the sixth lecture on our series on الحسد. And actually, inshallah, in today's lecture, we'll have to finish up many topics, maybe touch upon some very briefly. Because the next lecture, inshallah, we want it to be the final lecture in the series, and we want the next lecture to have some of the positive aspects that we want to stress in this lecture series. So far, everything we've been saying has pretty much been, we can say, of a negative nature. We're talking about a disease, we're talking about the ramifications and the evils of this disease. Today, inshallah, we'll be speaking a little bit about what to do about the disease, and then, inshallah, next time, we'll be speaking about what should be occurring for the Muslim instead of this disease of al-hasad. What are some of the qualities that a Muslim should possess that will, inshallah, take the place and remove this al-hasad from his heart, inshallah. As I believe I mentioned also, some of this material that we'll be going through quickly, especially today, inshallah, all of it will be available. As you know, this is all part of the book, The Disease of Al-Hasad, The Disease of Envy. So, inshallah, anything that we go through quickly can be found in more detail, inshallah, there. Last time we spoke about the evils of al-hasad, and as you can tell by the fact that that took up the whole lecture last time, that there are lots of evils of al-hasad. And in fact, that was a continuation from the previous lecture to show you how much the evils of al-hasad are. Let me just mention one more aspect, and this is the aspect of al-ayn. The Prophet ﷺ said, al-aynu haqq, that the evil eye is a reality. Now, we gave lectures before on al-ayn and what to do with respect to al-ayn and so forth, and all the points related to al-ayn, and I will not repeat that material here, plus it would take us too far off the course of our lecture that we're doing here. But just a small point on the relationship between al-hasad and al-ayn. As many of the scholars, such as Ibn Jibreen and others, spoke about, part of al-ayn is the hasad that comes from the individual. So there is something in the heart of an individual that can actually have some effect. Now, how does it work? You know, what are the what we could call maybe the metaphysics of it? There's a lot of things in this world that people cannot explain. And we should not think of ourselves as being so great and so intelligent that we can explain and understand everything that occurs in this world. There are a lot of things that occur in this world that we do not have an explanation for. And in fact, many things we explain simply by saying it is chance and probability. Why did this person get sick and not the other person? Why did this person have this and not the other person? Why did this person get an accident and not the other person? This is all chance and probability, and that's our answer. I don't know if we can consider that a scientific answer, actually. Right? You take twins, for example, that all of the factors surrounding them seem to be the same, and one of them is diseased, the other one is perfectly healthy, for example. And this is all just a matter of chance and so on. Well, it is possible. And in fact, it is a reality that there are other factors at work, and we are not completely aware of all of those other factors. But since we know from the Prophet ﷺ that this concept of al-ayn is true, and as the scholars have mentioned, there is a relationship between al-ayn and al-hasad. This is one of the evils of al-hasad, that you can actually cause some harm to your brother. Okay. Besides the feeling in your heart, besides actually working against your brother or your sister, whatever the case might be, there are actually other ways that we maybe don't understand, and certainly they're not under our control, that you can actually bring harm to your brother or sister as a result of this disease of al-hasad. When you study al-hasad and when you see all of these evils and the ramifications and the effects of al-hasad, and what is the core of al-hasad in your heart, then you can understand a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It becomes very easy to understand this hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when you think about what al-hasad is. And as we spoke about last time, for example, it is a kind of enmity even with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving the bounties. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا يَجْتَمِعَانِ فِي قَلْبِ عَبْدٍ الْإِيمَانُ وَالْحَسَدْ. The Prophet ﷺ said that iman, faith, real faith and belief, and al-hasad, envy, do not gather together in the heart of a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have a hasad, if you have hasad in your heart, then there's no way that you can have the complete and true iman. And if you have the complete and true iman, if your iman is complete and it is correct, there is no room for hasad in your heart. Again, go back to what we spoke about last time and some of the evils of al-hasad, and what is al-hasad really, and who is it that you are first and foremost angry with or displeased with? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And plus the fact that we've spoken about before, that as part of the Muslim community, as part of this brotherhood, there's a certain type of relationship you're supposed to have with respect to the others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is part of your iman. So if you think about some of the different aspects of al-hasad, you can understand that if this disease is in the heart, it means there's something wrong with your iman. You do not have the proper iman. The correct iman is not there. And conversely, obviously, if the proper iman is there, there's no room whatsoever for hasad. There's no room for whatsoever for hasad. So we have to be very conscious of the fact. We should always be concerned about our hearts, as we spoke about in the first lecture. We should always be concerned about the health of our hearts, and realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn our hearts in any way, at any time. So we always have to be on top of this matter and be checking ourselves and making sure that this disease or any other of the types of diseases is not creeping into our hearts. And if we see even the most subtle sign of this disease of hasad, if we see even just the most subtle sign, we should work to remove it. We should be alarmed. We shouldn't be lackadaisical and just think it is something minor and so forth. And I would like to mention one of the signs that you have this disease of hasad in your heart. This was mentioned by Ibn Uthaymeen. And at least the way I understand it, this is a if you ask me, it is a subtle sign. That is, that it will occur to someone and he may not realize that this is hasad. But Ibn Uthaymeen points out that this is one of the strong signs. In his case, he said it's one of the strong signs. I believe it's more of a kind of a subtle sign, that if you have this, this is a sign that your heart is inflicted with the disease of al-hasad. And what he says is that when a person tries to conceal the virtues and the goodness of others, when he does not like it when others talk about the virtues of another person and the good that another person has, when he remains silent and pretends like he does not know the goodness of the other person or the virtues of the others or the good things that the other person has done, Ibn Uthaymeen said that this is a sign that he has hasad in his heart. Because a true believer, the person who does not have hasad in his heart, he likes it when good things are said about others, he likes it when love is spread about others, he likes it when good deeds are appreciated and so forth. So therefore he himself, when he speaks about others, he speaks in a good way and he praises them and he appreciates the good that they've done. So once a person is no longer appreciative and is trying to hide the good that other people do and is not willing to admit the good things that other people are doing, this is a sign, this should be a kind of wake-up call in his heart that there's something going on in his heart. That there must be some, as I said, Ibn Uthaymeen says it's a strong sign, I think more of it of a subtle sign, there must be some kind of hasad, there must be some kind of disease that is going on in his heart. So this should be something, as I said, this should be some kind of a wake-up call. Don't take this kind of thing lightly. Because this might be where it starts and then it builds more and more and then your heart may be overcome by this disease of al-hasad. So now I want to speak about, inshallah, that if we do have this feeling of al-hasad, what is the cure? And what should we do? And how should we behave? Some of these points maybe we touched upon before, but I want to stress them again as a kind of an organized way of this question of what should we do if we feel that we have this disease. Now, probably, as we spoke about before, probably this disease, this feeling of al-hasad is going to enter maybe everybody's heart or everybody's mind at one time or another. We mentioned that. And the question is really how do you respond to it? And this is where it's very important where, that our mind or our rational thought control our emotions. Or the two of them, actually an even better way to say it, the two of them have to go together. What we believe to be correct, and this is a very important aspect in Islam, that what we believe, for example, to be correct also affects our behavior and also affects our emotions. So we should, if we believe that something is wrong, this also should affect our emotions towards that thing. We know that it's wrong, so therefore we have a hatred in our heart for it, and we try to remove it, we try to work against it in whatever means possible, according to the established principles. Of course, avoiding extremism, going beyond the limits of the Sharia and so forth. And if we know that something is right, then we should love it, and we should try to make it grow and prosper and support it whenever we can. So this is, there's a recognition in the mind or in the intellect, and it also has to be reflected in the feelings and the heart and so forth. So one of the aspects with respect to al-hasad, we have to learn about al-hasad first. And the more, inshallah, you learn about al-hasad, the more it will affect your attitude towards al-hasad. Inshallah, you will develop a great distaste and a great hatred for al-hasad in your heart. A great hatred for al-hasad in your heart. So that, inshallah, you will never allow it to creep into your heart whatsoever. So one of the first aspects of how to free ourselves of al-hasad and what to do if we feel that al-hasad is coming on is to have this knowledge, to understand the evil effects of al-hasad. Okay, we spent a long time on it, we spent more than one lecture on it, to discuss some of the evil ramifications of al-hasad, because, and the goal behind that obviously, is that so that we will understand how dangerous and how harmful this is, and how we should have a great deal of hatred for this disease, and make sure that this disease does not present itself in our hearts whatsoever. We have to realize that it hurts ourselves. We are just causing harm to ourselves. It hurts our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many times it can destroy our relationship with those who are closest to us, those people who we are related to through blood, those people who are related to through other means, those people who are closest to us in the society, our closest brethren and sisters and so forth. It can harm our relationship with all of these people. You know, it is like, for example, an alcoholic. An alcoholic, many times, if you were to think and sit down and look and see how much damage he is causing himself, and causing all, causing the harm that he is causing in all the relationships that he is having with so many people who are actually beloved to him. This recognition of all this harm should lead to the person that wants to change. Now, alcoholism is something much more obvious. Even though people don't wake up many times to alcoholism, it is something much more obvious than al-hasad. Al-hasad is something in the heart, and sometimes we don't realize how it is affecting us. You know, you might have a friend of yours, for example, that you have this envy towards, you have this feeling of hasad towards, and so therefore, in certain ways, you don't treat him as well as you should. You're not as polite to him as you should be. When you meet him, you don't smile in the way that you should smile. You know, you meet someone else who you don't have that feeling of hasad, and you are like, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing, what's happening," and so forth. And with somebody else that you have this feeling of hasad, you say, "Assalamu alaikum," you smile, but the real feeling isn't there. It's like a cold, or it has some coldness to it. So, as I said, this disease of hasad is much subtler than alcoholism, for example. And you really have to be aware and have to think about how is it affecting my life? How is it affecting my relationship with these other people? Instead of having a very beautiful relationship with others and a very brotherly and sisterly relationship with others, you're allowing this disease to enter into your relationship, so therefore you're not as generous with that person, you're not as kind, you're not as friendly with that person, and it is actually affecting your relationship with that other person. And you might even think maybe it's not much, you might not even pay attention to it, because you have that feeling of hasad in your heart, so you don't really care that you're not treating that other person that well. And this is obviously, you know, one of the main problems, is that it causes you to behave in this way, and you are in your heart, you're justifying it. That person got this and doesn't deserve it, and so therefore I'm going to treat that person this way. The other person may notice it when you meet him, you don't quite treat him like you treat others. So you're hurting the other person's feelings. Other people, by the way, may also notice it. How come this person, when he meets that person, he doesn't really treat him very well? And they may understand it as a disease in your part, and so therefore they will not love you and they will not feel towards you as you would like them to feel towards you. So you see what happens here? How you treat, let's say, brother B is noticed by brother C, D, and E, and they don't like it. They can see these subtle things. So therefore they love you less and they deal with you in a more cold manner, like you deal with the first person. So all of this again goes back to the question of the disease, the evil effects of this disease. So you have your relationship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have your relationship with the other people in the community, you have your relationship even with your own nafs. You have to sit down and think about whether or not you have this disease in your heart and how it is affecting your life. Inshallah, if you do that, and as we said, self-reflection, to be honest in self-reflection, unfortunately, is something difficult for many people to do. You would think, logically speaking, it is very important for them, and so therefore they should be willing to do it honestly with themselves, but because of arrogance, because of feelings in the heart, feelings of greatness, you know, it is oftentimes very difficult. But this is one of the first steps if you want to cure yourself from al-hasad. One of the first steps, you have to realize how evil al-hasad is, the kind of stuff that we've been talking about in the past couple of lectures. And you have to realize, you have to look closely to see where and if it is affecting your behavior. And as I said, sometimes this self-reflection is very difficult. And to be honest with it, or to be honest with respect to it, is not that easy. As we spoke about earlier when we quoted Epstein about the feminist movement, sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between injustice and feeling upset about injustice and al-hasad. Because you have the right, for example, if someone is treating you incorrectly, if someone is doing you wrong, or someone is doing haram things, something, you have the right to be upset for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe not so much for your own personal, you know, you should, when it comes to your own personal issues, if someone is doing you wrong, it is good for you to be forgiving and to overlook it. Inshallah, you will get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone is doing someone is doing wrong, if someone is treating others wrong, if someone is doing some kind of injustice towards others and so forth, then you have the right, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hate what that person is doing, to lessen your feeling of brotherhood towards that person because of that person's lack of proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore you may feel justified that I'm not going to treat this person like I treat other people because of the wrong that he's doing. But you have to be very careful. Is it really because of the wrong he's doing, or is there something about that person that you dislike out of hasad, out of envy and so forth? So these are not easy matters. I'm not saying that they're easy matters. And you have to take the time to reflect upon these matters. You have to. If you're concerned about your health, you know, people are concerned about their physical health, so they make sure that they take time out to go and to the gym and exercise for an hour a day, hour and a half a day, whatever. Right? So if you're concerned about your spiritual health, you have to take the time to think about your spiritual health. In this day and age, you know, where they got us running 24 hours a day after something and doing something, you know, everybody is hooked up now 24 hours a day. You know, this BlackBerry, people at 6 a.m., they're checking their email at 8 a.m., they're checking their phone messages and everything, and they're hooked up, and they are occupied 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have no time to reflect. You have to shut the BlackBerry off, you have to shut your email off, you have to think, reflect sometimes. Even going to the mosque nowadays, because people are busy, they go to the mosque, they pray, and they leave, and they don't get much time even to reflect, and even maybe the quality of the salat isn't that good, because they're still busy, they're still so busy with other things. And some of the ulama say one of the reasons that you pray, for example, tahiyat al-masjid, anytime you go to the mosque, or you pray sunnah beforehand, it is a way of first kind of a introductory thing to free yourself a little bit, so that by the time you get to the obligatory prayer, you are more ready to, inshallah, really benefit from the prayer. So, this kind of self-reflection, again, I'm not saying that it is easy, but if you're serious about your health, you have to think about it. You have to take the time to reflect, inshallah. And then if you do feel that this hasad has entered into your heart, obviously then you have to do whatever you can to repel this disease. And the greatest way, probably, Allah alam, the greatest way to repel this disease is by increasing your iman. Increasing your iman. Because this disease of al-hasad, inshallah, is only really going, as I said, we're not talking about just fleeting experiences that something enters your heart, because this can happen even to anyone at any time coming from a shaitan. But if this is really starting to plant itself in your heart, then you know that it is because of the weakness of iman. And everybody, I think, everybody knows that they have times in which their iman really feels great, and they really feel devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doing the good deeds become very easy for them, and they're just very anxious to pray more and fast more and so forth. And they might have other times in which iman and the acts of faith are more of a drudgery than a pleasure. So everybody has these kind of flows, virtually everybody, I should say, Allah alam, has these kind of flows in their iman. Iman increases and decreases. Iman increases and decreases. So when it starts decreasing, and when it is decreasing, this is when the door is open to some of these diseases to come into your heart. And one thing that is very important for every Muslim, every believer, we realize the fact, and we know from the Quran that iman increases and decreases, but we should try to identify what are those things that help us the best to remain at a high level of iman. In other words, we should not go through these periods of iman increasing and decreasing and never reflect upon, okay, what was occurring there? How come my iman was increasing at this time, and how come I feel that my iman was decreasing at this other time? So we should think about these things. We shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't go through a period where we felt our iman went up and then our iman went down, and then not even say to ourselves, oh, okay, mashallah, my iman went up. What happened? What was it that was really driving that? And then my iman fell. What was it that was really driving that? You know, it's sad if we do not reflect upon that. If iman is really the most important possession, we may call it a possession, but the most important ni'mah that we have, then we should really want to see, you know, how we can protect it and keep it healthy and strong and so forth by identifying what causes us sometimes to have an increase in iman and what causes us sometimes to have a decrease in iman. We might find, for example, if we reflect upon it, that we were reading the Quran during a certain time, and so that affected us a great deal. We might even find we were reading certain portions of the Quran, and that had a greater effect upon us. You never know. Maybe we were reading certain books, maybe we were concentrating more on some aspect of the deen, and this had a great effect upon us. An obvious example, maybe during this period of time we were going more to the Quran going more to the mosque and interacting with good people more and so forth, and that had a great effect upon us. And then when we had periods where our iman was lessened, when we studied, we see maybe we were concentrating too much on getting ahead of in this dunya, or maybe we were, let's say, watching too much TV and watching things on TV which aren't good, and this brought us down. Maybe we were, even during that period of time, we were interacting with certain people that we know who are our friends, but in reality they don't have a good effect on our iman. And so therefore if we look back at it, we'll say, yeah, during this time I spent a lot of time with this brother and my iman was decreasing, while on the other time I was spending a lot of time with these people and my iman was going up. So these are really things that we should think about. They should be kind of obvious. I almost feel embarrassed to mention them. But there are things that we should reflect upon. So when we find the disease of al-hasad entering into our hearts, obviously this is a sign that there is something wrong with the health of our heart and the iman, the level of iman in our hearts. So we should think about what is it that inshallah will strengthen our heart again. We are speaking metaphorically in terms of disease, right? But like a physical disease, you know what steps you can take to prevent the disease from coming. Once the disease occurs, you know what steps you can take to help your body against that disease and so forth, and to re-strengthen yourself. Well, similarly, it is the case with spiritual disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described these as marad, a disease in the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this term, so there must be some kind of relationship between how we deal with this disease, how we analyze it, how we try to find cures for it, and also the physical disease that we know how to deal with. So we should take advantage of this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the same term to realize that we kind of have to deal with them in the same kind of way. As we spoke about before, obviously if someone has this feeling of al-hasad entering in his heart, then he has to make sure that, you know, if he cannot put an end to it completely, he has to make sure that he always has a hatred for it in his heart, that even if it is existing, he doesn't like it to be there, and he must make sure that he is not taking any steps based on that hasad. One of the things, for example, that many scholars recommend at this point that will help you, inshallah, remove this hasad, is that you go out of your way, you go out of your way to improve your behavior towards that person that you feel hasad to. You go out of your way. In other words, you try your best to consciously think about how you're behaving towards that person that you feel this envy towards. And inshallah, first of all, this will make sure that you don't act upon the hasad. And inshallah, this will remove, or this will bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure upon you for the way that you're behaving towards that person. And inshallah, when you deal with that person in a good way that you feel this hasad for, inshallah, the other person will also deal with respect to you in a good way, right? I mean, if you are going out of your way, you are being very nice to this person, inshallah, that person will reciprocate and also be nice to you. And as you develop this love for that person, inshallah, the feelings of al-hasad will be removed from your heart, inshallah. And at the same time, you should also reflect upon al-hasad and what you are doing when you have al-hasad. Because the person that you have hasad towards, especially if you speak based on hasad or you do any kind of action based on this hasad, the person that you are doing this act towards is actually an innocent person. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him some bounty and blessed him with some bounty, especially if he did not get it through haram means, let's forget about that case of getting something through haram means, for example. He got it through halal means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that bounty. And now you are attacking him, either in your heart or by taking steps against him. You are now taking steps or attacking an innocent person. This person is innocent. By definition, he has done nothing wrong to you. You are just envious of the fact that he's been given something. So you are now attacking an innocent person. So think of the sin that you're committing. This is wrong. Right? This is wrong. How many people speak about the rulers throughout the world and all the wrong that they're committing, and they're so bad because of the wrong that they're committing? What about the amount of wrong which we do towards others? Especially if we commit hasad. So, obviously, once we recognize this fact, inshallah, this will also help us to do our best to remove this feeling in our heart. And something maybe that I alluded to earlier, that we have to realize that the true bounties are the bounties of the hereafter. These things of this life, and there's many hadith of Prophet, and we don't have time to get into them, but when you realize what is the reality of the things of this life, they are really meaningless. So if you change your concentration from the bounties of this life, from these temporary things, which in the long run really don't have much meaning to them, to reflect upon the bounties of the hereafter, this will greatly help you remove al-hasad from your heart. For two reasons. Because as we spoke about before, you are making hasad for something of this dunya, something of this world, which, again, there's not much real bounty, much benefit in these things of this world. Right? There's no reason to kill yourself over some bounty of this world. The real bounty is the bounty of the hereafter. So there's no reason for you to be so upset about the bounties of this life. And at the same time, by having this hasad in your heart, you are actually displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are perhaps removing from yourself the real bounties of the hereafter. So it is like, as they say, a double whammy. You know, you are envious of something in this life, and by having that approach to something in this life, you are removing from yourself, possibly, a bounty in the hereafter. And that is the real bounty. So if you are really concerned about benefiting yourself, and if you're really concerned about getting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yourself, then you should realize that by having this hasad, you are going to harm yourself both in this life and the hereafter. And in fact, the person who has this disease of al-hasad in his heart, and when he recognizes it, as we mentioned, al-hasad is a disease that basically it harms, like many other diseases, obviously, first and foremost, and maybe completely it harms the person himself. It makes the person himself miserable. Okay, the person who has al-hasad, he himself becomes miserable. So how did he get to this state? This is a kind of musibah. This is a kind of affliction. To have al-hasad enter into your heart, this is a kind of affliction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever misfortune happens to you is because of the things your hands have wrought, have earned, and for many of them He grants forgiveness. So this is actually a kind of affliction that has entered in your heart. And so therefore what this means is you should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be a sign that you should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Because this disease in your heart, Allahu A'lam, most likely is the result of some wrong that you are doing, some sins that you are committing. Because of the sins that you are committing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this disease and this misery to afflict your heart. So one of the first steps that you should take is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you, inshaAllah. Another thing that also can help you remove this feeling of hasad in your heart is to reflect upon the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You know, in the hadith of the Prophet has recommended to us that we should look to those people who are less fortunate than us than looking to those people who are more fortunate than us. You know, those people who have been given less of this world, we should look to those people and think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. When you think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, then you become thankful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead of being upset about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you, you become thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So instead of becoming envious, you become thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, especially for those of us who are living in the West nowadays, materially speaking, we are very comfortable. The majority of us, the majority of the Muslims, for example, in the United States, are living in a very comfortable position. Materially speaking. And in fact, before 9/11 in particular, maybe you could say in every aspect, in every way, we were living a very comfortable life in the West. Now there is some fitna. Now there is some trials that we are going through. And for some people, this fitna may be the first fitna that we had to suffer from. Immediately they gave up their deen, or immediately they gave up parts of their deen, and they're willing to compromise their deen. But in general, as I said, we in the West, materially speaking, we are very well off compared to many of the Muslims throughout the world. And who has put us in this situation? You know, who has allowed us, even if we emigrated here, who has allowed us to come here? But if we were born here and we grew up here, who really put us here? Is this by our choice? Is this by our, you know, are we here because of our own doing? Or is this really something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees? Those people who are well off in the society, those people who are rich and powerful, most of them are there are rich and powerful because of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them. And in what family they put. And sometimes even their skin, the color of their skin. You know, and where they're, what family and what people they're around, this is why they're in the situation that they're in. And a lot of this has nothing to do with what they themselves did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, for example, that a person is born to a rich family in Boston or New York, as opposed to being born to a starving, poverty-ridden family in Niger or any other part of the world today. So instead of reflecting and always worried about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you, You should think about everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. The great bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And there's one bounty in particular that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of the Muslims and all of the believers. And that is the bounty of being guided to Islam. Of being saved from this madness that we see in the rest of the world among all the other peoples. The confusion, the madness, the misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved all of us Muslims, all of the believers from all of that other nonsense that is going on. If you just reflect, for example, upon this one ni'mah, this one bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be obsessed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to anything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you. You will not be upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given anybody else. Because at least, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you to Islam. Has brought iman into your hearts. And after that, really, what is it so much that you should want? That you should need in your heart? That you will become upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed? There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you by giving you iman and giving you Islam, there's no reason for you ever to be envious towards anyone about anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. So reflect, inshallah, upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. First and foremost, or one of the greatest things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is to guide you to iman, guide you to Islam. You should also think about, on the other hand, you should also think about what is going to be the punishment that you may receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing this hasad to be in your heart. Again, when we talk about the disease of hasad, in reality what we're saying, we're not talking about that fleeting feeling that may come into your heart, but we're talking about a feeling that you allow to implant itself in your heart. So therefore, you should think about what is going to be the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing this feeling in your heart. Now you've already, in essence, you've already allowed this feeling of misery into your heart. So originally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you free of envy. You are free of envy. And you have allowed this envy to enter into your heart. So you've already lost the great bounty. You've lost that freedom of being envious. And you've allowed this disease to enter into your heart. But what do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do with respect to the one who is envious? As we know from the Quran, the reward or the result of a deed is similar in nature to the deed itself. So if you do good, inshallah, you will have something good similar to it in return. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَسَبُوا سَيِّئَاتِ جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَاتٍ بِمِثْلِهَا وَتَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in those who have earned evil deeds, those who did evil deeds, the recompense of an evil deed is the like thereof. And humiliating disgrace will cover them. So what is it that envy is? Envy really is the desire for the bounties to be removed from other people. This is what envy is. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to this evil that you're committing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you or recompense you with a similar evil to the evil that you are committing, what do you think it will be? I don't have the answer to that question, actually. Okay, this is just conjecture on my part. But if it is going to be similar to the evil that you are committing, maybe what it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove bounties from you. If you want bounties to be removed from others, And that is the sin that you're committing. Maybe the result is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove some of the bounties that He's given you. And of course, the worst one and the end result, if you continue to wish evil upon others and have this malice towards others for what they have, then the end result is maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even remove the essence of iman from your heart as a result of this hasad. So these are some of the things that the person should be reflecting upon, and hopefully inshallah these will be like eye openers for the person, that he will realize what kind of disease in his heart, and he'll come to the point like those people who need an intervention, that he'll finally realize inshallah what kind of real disease in his heart, and so therefore work honestly and sincerely and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove it completely in his heart. And you should realize obviously that if there is some bounty that someone has received in this life, and you like that bounty, and you would like to have a bounty similar to that for yourself, then the solution is not to wish for that bounty to be destroyed for the other person, because that makes no sense whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the means to give infinite bounties for everyone. So the cure for this hasad in your heart is not to wish that somebody else doesn't receive something. That is a real sign of disease. But if you like some kind of bounty, don't worry about what the other person has. But turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounty. And inshallah Allah will give you if you are sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if you had this feeling of hasad in your heart and you killed this feeling of hasad in your heart, so to speak, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for that bounty, whatever that bounty might be, whatever that good thing might be, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to your dua, will respond to your request from Him. So instead of wishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy somebody else's bounty, again, for which there's no benefit for that kind of behavior, instead turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to you. As in that verse that we read, I believe last time from Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should not wish for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to others, but instead we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounty. وَسَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his bounties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever all knower of everything. And lastly, today inshallah, I believe we'll probably stop here, I would like to present one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that demonstrates to us the pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with us when we actually move to remove this disease from our hearts and purify our hearts from such disease. This hadith, recorded by Imam Ahmad, states that on three consecutive occasions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his sahaba that they are about to see someone who is from the people of Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with his sahaba, and on three occasions he told his sahaba that they are about to see someone from the people of Jannah. And on each occasion the same man entered. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it three times, and each time the same person entered. So then Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As decided that he, obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you that this person is from Jannah, right? So you want to know something about this person, what are his characteristics and so forth. So Abdullah bin Amr decided that he will spend some time with this person to try to see what is it about this person that has made him from the people of Jannah, because the Prophet ﷺ has said that he is from the people of Jannah. So Abdullah bin Amr went to this person and he made some excuse saying that he could not go back to his place, so could he stay with this man for some time. So he stayed with him for 3 days. And the man allowed him. He said, certainly you can stay with me. So he stayed with this man for 3 days. And during the 3 days, Abdullah bin Amr was trying to notice what is special about this person.
and he will not find anything special about the person with respect to his deeds. He said he did not even find him praying the late night prayers. And so he could not find anything. So finally he went to him and he said, look, what I told you was just an excuse so I could stay with you, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that you are from the people of Jannah, and I wanted to know what is the reason that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is declaring that you are from the people of Jannah. What special deeds do you have? What are you doing? And the man said, you know, I'm not doing anything, just what you've seen me do in the last few days. So then Abdullah, after he told him this, Abdullah walked away, and you know, I guess probably dissatisfied, not having any clue. But then when Abdullah walked away, he called him back and he said, there's nothing other than what you have seen from me, but at the same time I find in my soul no act of deception towards any Muslim, nor do I have any envy toward anyone for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. Okay, so he's admitting to Abdullah that he doesn't know of any special actions that he does, but he does have this in his heart, these two feelings in his heart. He does not try to deceive any Muslim, nor does he have any feeling of envy towards anyone concerning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. So when Abdullah ibn Amr heard this, then he said, this is what makes you reach paradise. Okay, in Abdullah's opinion, this is of course not the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying this specifically, but in Abdullah's opinion, this must be the thing that will cause him to enter Jannah, inshallah. As I mentioned before, I don't think we really have time to go over the causes of al-hasad. The causes, of course, are related to many of the different kinds of aspects that we've been discussing. And I guess, inshallah, we will leave this, for the book. So, inshallah, we'll leave the causes of al-hasad, and we'll also leave the question of how to behave towards someone who you feel has hasad towards you. We'll have to leave those two topics, inshallah, because the next topic, the next lecture, inshallah, as I said, we want to talk about some positive aspects, inshallah, with respect to this concept of al-hasad. So therefore, I will, inshallah, end the lecture there and open the floor for any question or comments that you might have.